We're in Romans chapter 15, verses 22 through 29, and we will use the read-through as our summary from last week's study. Romans 15, verses 22 to 29. First of all, Paul, remember that the doctrine proper in the book of Romans was given up through chapter 15, verse 13. But in beginning with chapter 15, verse 14, Paul is presenting three areas of his life, and in so presenting it also as doctrine, the doctrine of the providence of God. We saw that, first of all, in his preaching, that he only shared those things which Christ worked out through him. He would only minister and speak on the basis of those things which Christ has worked out in him. In verses 22 through 29, that was the preaching of Paul. This is the plan for Paul, which is also presented as the providence of God. His circumstances, verse 22, that by many things he was hindered from coming to them, even Satan himself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, Paul said even Satan hindered them, but he presented it as fact, as he accepting it as God's will to prevent him from going where God did not want him to go. Verse 23, the completion of his work was now over, and because of the strong desire for many years, that's 20 years from coming to them, his commission in verse 24, that whenever he journeys to Spain, he says, I will come to you, and I hope to see you while passing through, and be sent forward there by you, if first I should be filled from you in part. And so Paul traveling, saying, really, I feel commissioned to go to Spain. Go to the parts of the inhabitable world at the time that had not heard the gospel. But he hoped to come by Rome and to stay with them, to be refreshed, to have fellowship, to receive ministry from them, to have ministry from him go to them, and for him to be supplied with the supplies that he needs in order to go on into Spain. In verse 25, the cause that has caused him to leave the area in which he's ministering, but now I'm going to Jerusalem ministering to the saints. Contribution, verse 26. For it pleased Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor of the saints who are in Jerusalem. This is a big ministry of Paul, to go through the churches of the Gentiles and receive offering for the saints who were poor in Jerusalem. Not only were they poor because they were cut off from the Jewish people, their own Jewish people, but there was also a famine in the land. And so Paul says that this is our debt, that when we have brothers and sisters in need, like that one too, huh? No, okay. Another orchestra. Maybe that means I'm through. No. I think we used to have somebody many years ago in this church that when it was time to quit, they let their alarm go off. By accident every time, of course. So Paul saw this as a big main ministry that the Gentiles would give, and Paul would take not only a financial contribution, but also men from each of the churches to go with this collection and to go to Jerusalem and give the collection to the saints who were poor in Jerusalem, so that it would help in the relationship between Gentile and Jew, that the Jewish believers who have doubts about the Gentiles receiving Christ, they would see the love of God through the Gentiles, and they would receive this money. But not only would they receive the money, but the various people who came with the offering, who were also Gentiles, they would be there to express the fact of, yes, this is from us to you. We are your brethren. And so the financial monetary giving was made for the poor saints in Jerusalem. So Paul was going to go with the offering and with the people to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem make his way to Rome, through Rome into Spain. But of course, once he got to Jerusalem, he encountered some problems. People made false accusations against him, so he was imprisoned in Jerusalem. In fact, he was imprisoned for 2 years in that area, until he finally appealed to Caesar, because he saw that he was in a predicament, that the physical circumstances were not good for him. So he appealed to Caesar, and as a citizen of Rome, he had the authority to do that. So they sent him to Rome under guard. So he did make it to Rome, but not quite the way he anticipated. I guess if you want to think positive, you can realize that he had all of his expenses paid this way. He was going to get shipped to Rome. So he's in Rome there, and he's going to be under house arrest for 2 years, receiving the various brethren coming in to him. He's chained to a guard. He is under house arrest. He's not in prison yet. But then during his first trial there, he will be set free. And many believe that at that time is when he made his way into Spain. The Bible doesn't tell us, but there are other writings outside of Scripture that said he did go to Spain. But 2 years later, he's back in prison in Rome again. This would be his final time. He is not under house arrest. This time he is in the Mamertine prison in Rome, and he's waiting for his death. So that's the background for all of this. He says the cause for me really to make my journey into Spain and through you is to go to Jerusalem and bring the contribution, which the Macedonians were pleased to do. Today, in concept, continued, they were pleased, it says. This is a repeat. He's emphasizing something that the Gentile churches and the Gentile believers, they were pleased to do this. This was not a forceful thing. They said, now's our opportunity, and we can see how this would help them monetarily, but also help our fellowship with our fellow believing Jews in Jerusalem. So they were pleased to do this. And they are their debtors, the Jews. For if the Gentiles participated in their spiritual things, the word of God came through the Jews. Jesus even said in John chapter 4 that salvation is from out of the Jews to the Samaritan woman at the well. Even though the nation of Israel has rejected their Messiah, God still worked through the nation of Israel, gave us the Old Testament, the Tanakh. And Christ was born a Jew. He came through Israel, his people. And so, for if the Gentiles participated in their, the Jewish, spiritual things, they are indebted also to minister unto them in fleshly things. Last week we shared with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This same principle that's found all the way through the Bible, that if somebody ministers spiritual things to you, you are indebted to minister back to them in physical things or for the physical need. Now, last week when we took chapters 8 and 9 in 1 Corinthians, we saw that Paul, in chapter 8, said, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. A text that is almost completely taken out of context and misused. Paul was not saying that we should not study the word. Later on in chapter 8 in verses 10 and 11, he says that those who are mature in the Lord have knowledge, but how you use the knowledge, if you use it to harm others spiritually, even though it's the truth, then you're not functioning in love. and your knowledge is just puffing you up. Now, he's not against knowledge. He's saying that the mature have the knowledge, but how it's applied. So chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, is Paul's example of what he means by if you have all knowledge and it's not ministered according to love, then you're just arrogant. You're not really caring about the spiritual welfare of others. And so he presented examples. He says, am I not an apostle? Do I not have a right, if the Lord should will, to also have a wife and have both of us supported with our needs, our human physical needs? Do we not have the right to that? Even God in his word said, and he quotes from the Old Testament, and he even talks about the Lord. Well, the Lord said those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. So he's presenting all these facts. But at the end of his presentation of chapter 9, he then tells them, but I do not exercise any of these rights so that you can hear the gospel. Of course, in 2 Corinthians, he's going to tell them that, forgive me for this wrong, because I went and made tents and earned my own way, and in came false teachers, and you gave them all your money. Me, I didn't take your money, because I don't want to offend you. I don't want you to leave over money so that you can hear the gospel. He says, but I don't use it for myself, and I'm not mentioning this to you for you to start giving. I'm showing you how I have all this knowledge and how this knowledge, what God says in his word, but I don't use it so that you can hear the gospel. So he lays down the same principles. We have the right both from the Old Testament and from the Lord himself. If spiritual things are ministered, the ministry back is for the human need or the physical things. Verses 28 and 29. Again, verse 28, the completion, Paul says, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, that would be Jerusalem, I will come through you unto Spain. And his confidence. He says, and I am sure that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So he says, I can hardly wait to get there. And when I do come, I have the confidence that the blessing of Christ and upon his gospel will be with me. And there will be a fullness of exchange and fullness of fellowship between the two of us. So last week I shared from you from 1 Corinthians 9. This week we finish up from 2 Corinthians 9. If you ever want to know the Bible teaching on giving or tithing or whatever you know it by, 1 Corinthians 9 and 2 Corinthians 9 are the two chapters where Paul spends time on this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, both chapters he discusses this collection, the same collection that he was talking about there in 1 Corinthians 9. But he says, first of all, I want you to know about the Macedonians, that the grace of God has moved through the Macedonian churches, and the grace of God is causing them to give to the need in Jerusalem. In verses 2 through 4, he says they're giving out of deep poverty. So he's showing them that even in poverty they gave for these brethren who are hurting in Jerusalem. Verse 5, the concepts for giving in chapter 8, he says, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then unto us by the will of God. Giving yourself to the Lord, step one, for everything. And then to the body of Christ, according to the will of God. So the conclusion of it in verse 7, he says, you're abounding in everything, faith, speech, knowledge, diligence, and your love. And he says, see to it that you abound in this contribution and fellowship also. Verse 8, prove the sincerity of your love. This was not a guilt trip because, as he shows later in this chapter, that the Christians in Corinth, they heard about what the other Gentile churches were doing, so they said, we're going to do that too. So now he's basically saying, put your works where your mouth is. You said you were going to. You made that commitment. Prove the sincerity of your love. Verse 9 is the example of Jesus, who being rich became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. And so verses 10 and 11 of chapter 8, Paul's counsel to them is take up the collection now before we get there. We don't have to wait till the last minute. So bring the collection. When these other brothers are traveling with me and we're picking up the collections, we don't want to have to wait around for quite a few days for the people to make the collection. So I first remind you of your willing mind. So therefore, express yourself, perform for the other believers. And he says, this is all for equality. We have an abundance over here in the Gentile churches. In the believing Jews in Jerusalem, there is a lack. There should be an equality there, making all things equal. He says, maybe later on, you'll be in need, and they'll abound. And they'll give back to you, because you're in need now. He says, it's all for equality amongst the brethren. And so, in verses 16 to 24, he says, this group is coming who are grateful for all that you're going to do, and I encourage you to make that offering. And verse 24, in the confirmation of their love, again he says, give proof for the love that you said you were going to give. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. They're compelling to give, for as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous or abundant for me to write this to you. For I know the forwardness or the readiness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia. Interesting. When he came to Corinth, he boasted about the churches in Macedonia. When he's in Macedonia, he boasts about the Corinthian church. Oh, the Christians in Corinth, they were pleased to give. Interesting, Paul doesn't put down or speak against other churches to any other church. He always used it for the good, the motivation. Oh, in Corinth, they're ready to give. And it's like, okay, well, you know, if we're all in this together, we don't want it to just be us. No, this is all together. So they responded to this readiness. And he says, in Macedonia and Achaia, even a year ago. So your zeal has provoked many. The compliance to give, verses 3 through 5. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. So that they or Macedonia should not come with me and find you unprepared. We, that is to say, not you, should be ashamed in this confident boasting. We don't want to show up and have the believers from Macedonia say, I thought you told us the Corinthian church was going to do this too. And then he says, we would be shamed. Take the collection now, so that we make sure we have it when we get there. Therefore, I thought it necessary to encourage the brethren that they would go before unto you. So he's sending a delegation ahead of him to make sure they make the collection so that when he comes with the main delegation, that they would be ready when they arrive. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, the principles of giving, there are four of them. The principles of giving. Verse 6, but this I say to you, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He's not just talking about money. He's talking about giving to the need. Giving over and beyond what our need is. Realizing that God has blessed us with abundance at times, not for our welfare, but for the help of the others within the body of Christ. But he says, it's up to you. This is one of those, everybody make up your own mind how you're going to approach this. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. You're going to have financial problems up to your neck, if not beyond. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The word bounty is the word blessing. He who sows a blessing, which is what financial and physical help is to other people, it's a ministry, you're going to reap a bounty or a blessing. Now, some people use this to say you give $100, God's going to give you $1,000, as if that's some kind of reward. You see, we are stewards. Once we become believers, we are stewards with God's time and his money, everything we have and all of our possessions. When we use it for ourselves, we bring that discipline and judgment upon ourselves, not realizing that that's not there for us. That's not there for us. It's for the Lord's work. It's for the Lord's people, as well as us. So if you sow a blessing, you're going to reap a blessing. God's going to entrust you with more. Number 3, verse 7, each man according as he purposes in his own heart. So if you want to sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you want to reap a blessing, then give a blessing. Sow the blessings. Doesn't matter, you get anything back. It's helping the need. Fourthly, how I am to purpose in my heart. I mean, I could say, okay, well, all right, you know I should do this and do it grudgingly in my heart. He says, not grudgingly. The word grudging is grief. Cause me grief to give somebody some of my stuff. Not out of grief or of necessity. There's no pressure. For God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful is hilaron, hilarious. God loves it when people say, oh, I've just been waiting for so long for me to be in a place where I can help other people when they're in need and enjoy doing it. Those are your four principles of giving. Everything has to fit within those four. Verses 8 and 9, the capability in giving. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work. The word good is agathos. Spiritual good. As is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. What he's saying is that you cannot outgive God. God is sufficient to pay for and meet the need. And that should not be a consideration in the sacrifice for others. The capacity in giving. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, be enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. The end result of all of this is that the recipient of the gift should give thanks to God. See, it's God's provision through other people. And it's not thank you, but thank the Lord is he is proving himself to work through God's people to provide for that need. And that should be the motive for every gift that's given in help or support. So the people would thank the Lord. Their hearts and minds would be turned to the Lord. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but also is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection under the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal or free distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. That's a wide spectrum. The word gift is the word grace. For salvation, for blessing, for provision, you'll find that God actually creates needs. He creates hard times for God's people, even beyond their ability to provide for their need, so that he can move through the body of Christ to provide for the need. That's what we're here for. In fact, some of the cults, many people are attracted to the cults because they humanly take care of people. Food, clothing, finances. And then people start coming to their churches because they got help from them. It's nice they got helped, but they're spiritually being led down the wrong direction. If you lose your soul, what good does it do? But within the body of Christ, especially, God has given us this ministry, and it's called a ministry. And it should be done in cheerfulness. I want to give. I want to help out. I've come across a couple of friends who have found themselves in tremendous financial need. One of them is in the area that the hurricane hit in New York. He's had to cut off his cell phone services, his internet services. He lives alone. He is retired. But finances ate him up. His car was damaged in the hurricane. He had to get that fixed for transportation. So he has no communication with his three daughters and their families. And I thought to myself, that shouldn't be. It's because he's out of work. He's out of work. His home wasn't damaged. His car was. He doesn't have the finances to stay in touch with his own daughters. And just something inside of me said, a believer shouldn't be like that. It's not his fault. So I prayed about giving to the need, so he can be in touch, especially during the holiday season. Be cut off, having to tell his daughters, I got to shut down the internet, shut down my cell phone service. I can't afford it anymore. It all went into my car. And it was just God's spirit in me. Different people that we have come across over the last few months that are just like the brother in Poland who has mold in his home. He has to have it removed. He's got a wife and a few children. He has to have it removed. He was told it would cost $25,000. To get it taken away, whatever the process is, or however bad it is, I don't know. So he sent an email out to all of his friends saying, if God lays on your heart to give, appreciate it, because it's going to cost us $25,000. Here, there's people responding. Brother has to go through that, we help him. As God lays on our hearts. It's not a matter of reacting and responding impulsively to everybody and everything, because it takes wisdom. Some people are in trouble because of their own doing, not because they need help and God has put them in a situation of needing help. But being sensitive to those things. No matter how poor we are, we always have some left over to help those who are in need, always. So those are the principles of giving. From Scripture, as you notice, there's nothing in there about tithing. That doesn't mean that people cannot tithe. Some people say, well, I believe in tithing. God's laid that on my heart. I'd say, do it. Other people, God has not laid that on my heart to do. Good. What has He laid on your heart? That's the key. Paul mentioned in chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, that I didn't mention in the just summarizing it. He says, you're giving out of your poverty, and at once you were not able to give, and now you're able to give. And he says, give as God makes it able to give. That's what it's all about. How we use our time, how we use our possessions, how we use our money, it's not ours. And God is going to create the need and make us responsible for the need. God's loosening things up. It's not yours. I've heard the argument back to me that says, well, wait a minute, I work hard for that. And who gave you the job? And who is your strength to do that job? It's not us. It's not us. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd help us to see the number one thing is for us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And secondly, to love our neighbor as ourselves. As ourselves. We know how we want things to be. We want the best of everything and help others if we can. But we are to show the love of Christ to others as if we are showing it to ourselves. Those things that we would do for ourselves, instead of doing it for ourselves, doing what we would do for ourselves for others. Let them have it. Let them who have the need give thanks to God, because God has touched His people with His love and care. We pray that You'd help us to be sensitive to what You would have us to do. We pray that You'd help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of this time together today. We pray that You'd help us to be sensitive to the need around us as we are stewards, distributors, ministers, to minister to the need. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.